Public driving goes vastly overpaid. Now, in many cases, they need that money. This is a vicious circle. In many cases, they were propelled into buying overpriced property. I'm sure many public servants need their inflated salaries, but salaries have to come down. They're at least by one. But, I mean, the problem here is you're looking for examples of cuts. If you legally run out of money, it's not merely a question of deciding what to cost. We do not have the luxury anymore of picking a number for the intake and say that we're going to make huge cuts to that. But we have to make draconian cuts. Otherwise, in 2 or 3 years' time, the ECB is around. And remember, the ECB, there's $64 billion coming in from the ECB. The ECB aren't voluntarily doing this. The government has boxed them into their corner, in which they are required to bail out the banks. The ECB do not want to become the lenders of last resort for Ireland. They are doing it against their will. And it worries me that what the government is going to do with the $64 billion, more than likely they're going to attempt to profit the property market and they'll start this asset bubble up again. And if they do that, they're heading for really, really serious problems. I mean, social problems, definitely. Because cut $20-30 billion out of the public spending, I think it's going to be almost impossible to do.
And you're also saying in the book that if radical action isn't taken, we could be looking at immigration in the region of 500,000?
Yes. In the 1950s, under De Valera's mismanagement, 13% of the people left the country. There's nothing new about the collapse of the status quo. What's happened has been repeated again and again since the formation of the state. This is just a big difference in 2020. Again, most of the authorities are using the abilities and older members of the system. This is the repetition of the pattern. And if this pattern has repeatedly happened, it says that something fundamentally wrong with the way our country is governed.
No, it's not all doom and gloom. You think that if the right decisions, radical decisions are made, that we could be a Switzerland or a Singapore. What do you mean?
The greatest asset of I travelled throughout the world. At the peak of professional conditions that are out the Irish dominate many professions. And they are highly capable and highly skilled. Problems that govern small ideas to deal with conflict. If we could get competent government into the country, Ireland could truly become extremely wealthy and country. Similar to where I listened to the earlier, we have so many natural advantages. We have a highly educated workforce. We have, as a proven, we can bring it back to the that has all been blocked out from the incumbent of the current political aristocracy that has been in the country.
So you might say, well, if your man is over in Germany for the last 10 years and here he is lecturing us on what we can do and can't do, that you may not be familiar with the developments that have taken place in Ireland over the last decade.
That's a fair criticism, but I visit Ireland, every 2 or 3 months. I visit it regularly for the last 10 years. And I have the advantage, I suppose, that, hey, I care about it, which most people are outside of. And secondly, I can take a view, I can stand back and see what other people possibly can do. So I think my detachment is an advantage rather than anything else. I'm not lecturing or criticizing the Irish people. Again, I repeat it, they are suffering under the political leadership that the country has endured.
And you finished the book with a rallying call, I suppose you could call it, to say we have to stop saying no, and that's not possible, and that's too radical. The real statement we need to make is, what do we need and how can we achieve it? Ireland has a great future if we can leave the past where it belongs and look forward. Are you confident it's going to happen?
Ideally, Ireland needs a new constitution, and that's the ideal situation. Need a new constitution. If we've gotten to the situation repeatedly, there's something fundamentally wrong with the legal framework of the government.
To summarise, in short, your view is IMF, bring it on.
Yeah, I suppose we want to reduce it to a simple phrase. Yes. What we need is somebody who has a politically different view on the country. We need somebody who. Maybe an Irish party, you need someone to come in and effectively facilitate the cost of the necessities in there. Otherwise, we are heading towards a national debt of $200 billion, and no state can survive that number of debt.
Thought provoking indeed. That was Anthony Sweeney, an independent economist based in Germany. His new book is called Banana Republic, and it's published by Gill and Macmillan. Look, he wasn't on the march yesterday, he would have been lynched. Anyway, now, diversity is a buzzword that's been floating around business for a few years now. If you're in a large company, chances are you have a diversity committee. But it's not just about having enough black people, gay people, and people with disabilities in
But diversity is a much bigger issue than that, as you well know.
David Walsh introduces diversity challenge to a packed room in the Novartis plant in Rinna City in Cork. He puts staff into table questions, and they compete against each other, answering multiple choice questions.
So here's our first question. A recent report displayed working to our advantage, a national workplace strategy, cited statistics from the rankings of 15 European nations, and how supportive their childcare system is of the dual earner model. In other words, both parents working. What ranking would you say Ireland is in? Was it 4, 10, or 15?
David, first of all, diversity.
What is diversity? Diversity is not about ticking boxes. It's a recognition by organizations of any type that the fundamental proprietary organization of people are not the same. No two persons are the same. No two people are the same. Everybody is the same. There are many organizations based on differences. And diversity, how do we tap into those differences in the most effective way to create a team? And if they're included, then they're engaged. And if they're engaged, then, you know,
it might sound a bit like the storyline of a business meeting in your family, but David thought that an open-minded workforce is a more creative, productive, and profitable workforce because people are more interested in their jobs.